There are several places in the Bible where the scriptures speak to us about God being a friend. Proverbs talks to us about the fact that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. How many of you know that that friend is God? It is the theme of our new Saturday night worship service, No New Friends. And so it is a great gift to think of the fact that God would call us not only servants, not only disciples, some apostles, but that he would call all of us friends. Because he wants to open his heart to us, and he wants us to open our hearts to him. And so it's a blessed thing that we can be called a friend of God. The church say amen today. Won't you stand to your feet, turn with me in your Bible. We praise God today. We have prayed unto God today. We thank the Lord for the effectual fervency of prayer, Reverend Tucker. We thank the Lord for this choir who has blessed us with praise. We thank the Lord for the fellowship of the saints, the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost, and all of you who are in this place today. We want you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Luke, Luke the 9th chapter. I want to read the first 6 verses for you because I believe that there is something here for the people of God. Say amen. We've located the text. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse number 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils, demons, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread nor neither money, neither have 2 coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And so, whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, disturbed, because that it was said of some that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify, sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me this morning on the title of today's sermon, Dunamis Power. Dunamis Power. Greek word that means power. Dunamis Power. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that your word would not return void. The word that you wrote upon tablets and stone, the words that you uttered to Moses on the top of Mount Sinai, the words that you inscribed on the hearts of humanity. May your words not return void. May the word that was incarnated and became flesh, may your word not return void. But may your word accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged today. Let somebody know that trouble doesn't last always. May minds be illuminated today. Teach us something, oh God, we did not know before we walked into this sanctuary today. And ultimately, oh God, I pray that your souls of the people of God would be convicted, and some for the first time to come to know you, and others who claim to already know you, God, may we be convicted to a closer walk with thee. Have your way today. Let the anointing fall fresh in this place, and we shall be ever careful to give your name glory, praise, and honor in the blessed, matchless, and righteous name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We do pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. This first Sunday in June, I want to take an opportunity to introduce to us, or preview for us, the next season on our liturgical calendar, which is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the season of the liturgical year that follows resurrection season. The liturgical year that starts in November of every year, December, depending on where Christmas falls, the four Sundays before Christmas, starts the season of Advent, the countdown to Christmas. We then go from there into the season of Epiphany, and then from there we go into the season of Lent, and from there we go into the season of Holy Week and Resurrection Weekend, Resurrection Sunday. And then from there, the last official line or season of the year is what we call the season of Pentecost. Season of Pentecost is the season in which we celebrate, acknowledge, identify, and uphold the third person of the Trinity, namely the Holy Spirit. Some folk call him the Holy Ghost, some folk call him the Holy Spirit. And yet what we must all realize is that there is a person that we have come to know as the Holy Spirit. It is not, right? The Holy Spirit is not an it or force. Our Jehovah's Witness brothers and sisters call it a force. It's not a, the Holy Spirit is not a force. You can't grieve a force. The Bible speaks about grieving the Holy Spirit. And the Bible names the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I go and I send to you a comforter, right? A force is not a comforter. I send someone to guide you into all truth. A force is not a guide. And so the third person, this is Christian Orthodox teaching that says that we who are Protestant believers in Christianity are, and those who are Christian, who are Catholic Christians of Christianity, don't stand in the way of others who call themselves Christians who call the Holy Spirit an it or a force. Our Mormons, brothers and sisters, call the Spirit an it or a force. Jehovah's Witnesses call the Spirit an it or a force. But those of us who are Orthodox in our Christian doctrine understand that the third person of the Trinity is not an it and he is not a force. Some may even want to say it's a feminine side of God. May call the Holy Spirit a she, right? The he, the she, you can call, you can have your statement. But the reality is, come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit is a person. And so we call the Father, the Son, the Spirit, right? The three persons of the Godhead. And that Godhead is God. And so you can't separate one from the other because every side is representative of the other side. And so there is an understanding of the Godhead being co-equal and co-eternal with one another. Father, co-equal and co-eternal with Son, co-equal, co-eternal with Holy Spirit. And so therefore, what we come to celebrate, right, throughout the calendar year is God and all of God's manifestations unto us. Right? God is a big God. Great is the mystery of godliness. There's some things you and I are never going to understand until we get to heaven, and it's still God's prerogative whether he's going to reveal that to you when we get to heaven. But while we're here, there's some things we step out and take on faith because God is God. And this is one of the core teachings of the Christian church that helps us understand what is the identity of the Godhead. And so over the next several Sundays, I was going to wait till next Sunday, but there's no guarantee you and I are going to see next Sunday. So I said, let's go ahead and preach it today. And so I wanted to introduce and preview the sermon series I'm going to be doing throughout the month of June and July and over the summer that focuses on Pentecost, focuses on the Holy Spirit, right? Pentecost is not just for the Church of God in Christ. Pentecost is not just for the church of God. Pentecost is not just for the holiness folk. Pentecost are not just for the holy rollers, as some of y'all like to call our other brothers and sisters. If you Baptist, you better know something about the Pentecost. If you Methodist, you better know something about Pentecost. If you're Catholic, you ought to know something about Pentecost. Whatever your denomination is, you better embrace the fullness of the Godhead, because if you only celebrate one aspect of the Godhead, then you're missing out on the fullness of the Godhead. And Paul says, I now see in part, and when I get further, I will have eyes that will see more clearly, right? But now I know in part and I prophesy in part. But when he who is perfect shall come, then I shall drop the dimness of my eyes and see something more clear. We won't get to see that until we get to heaven. Talking about 2020 vision. You're not going to have 2020 vision until you get to heaven. There's some things you're not going to be able to see clearly. You can put on as many glasses as you want to put on. You're not going to be able to see it in your spiritual eye clearly, let alone with your secular eyes. And so the Spirit has come to guide us into places where we've never been before. And so this sermon today is about Jesus sending out his disciples under the authority of the Spirit of the living God. If you look at verse number 1 of chapter 9, it says there that Jesus called his 12 apostles, his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all devils. That word power in verse number 1 is the same word that is used for power in Acts 1 chapter 8. Is the same word that is used for power in the Gospels, where Jesus says, right, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me in my hands. If you do a word study of the word power, you will find the similarity of the Greek word that is used there as dunamis. I'm going to come back to this word later on in the sermon. But what I want to start off is with these four words. I want to talk about demons and the demonic realm. I want to talk about declaring, and I want to talk about divesting, and I want to talk about decreeing. And those four words, right, then would eventuate in some eventuate into the word dunamis. And so if you look then at verse number 1, Jesus calls them together, gives them power, and gives them power over devils. Some translations of the Bible says demons. And what I want to say, I prefer demons, because there is a devil and there are a bunch of devils, but I want us to understand we wrestle against a demonic realm. The devil is the authority over the demonic realm. The demonic realm is that which is antithetical to the will of God. And so the demonic realm is something that you and I will encounter every day of our lives. You might as well go ahead and get used to it. You're not going to get rid of the demonic realm. The demonic realm is going to face you every day you get out of bed. The demonic realm is going to face you every time you walk on your job. The demonic realm is going to face you even on Sunday morning when you come up into the church house. The demonic realm is going to face you when you're driving in your car. The demonic realm is going to face you when you're studying for your college exam. The demonic realm is going to come against you when you're trying to get a promotion on your job. The demonic realm is going to come against you when you're trying to praise the Lord, and folk around you don't want to hear anybody praising God because they are given over to the demonic realm, or they are neutral, and if you're not for God, then you're against God. And so the demonic realm is real. The demonic realm is real. The demonic realm's job is to keep you from getting closer to the Lord. The demonic realm would cause depression in your life. The demonic realm would cause frustration in your life. The demonic realm causes consternation in your life. The demonic realm causes confusion in your life. The demonic realm is real. Has anybody encountered the demonic realm? Anybody know anything about the demonic realm? Anybody come up against the demonic realm? Anybody wrestling with the demonic realm right now? Anybody going up the rough side of the mountain? There's some demons that are rolling boulders down your way trying to roll you off the mountain. All you're trying to do is get higher up the mountain. But the demonic realm, You can call the devil whatever you want to call him. Some folks don't even believe there is a devil. But I just don't believe that the goodness of God exists without the forces of the demonic coming up against it. And part of the fact, I don't know why God allowed the demonic realm to come. Right? Because even in the Garden of Eden, perfect, pristine setting, God created the heavens and the earth, created animals two by two, gave each man, each animal companion, said to Adam, you're lonely, caused Adam to fall asleep, took a rib out of his side, made a companion called Eve. And so it said to them, you can eat of anything you want in the garden except the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And therein lied the demonic realm. The devil came slithering up to Adam and Eve and Adam, whatever you want to, whichever one you want to believe fell first, they both fell together. And so the demonic realm caused a detour on the very essence of what God was trying to do at the beginning of time. We will never know what Adam and Eve would have eventuated into in the Garden of Eden. We would not know if you and I would be here. We have no way of knowing the mind of God, but God allowed the demonic realm to come. He didn't put the demonic realm in the way of Adam and Eve. But he gave Adam and Eve a choice to do good or to do bad. We all have a choice to give over to the demonic realm or not. We all have a choice to listen to gossip or not. We all have a choice to participate in schismatic behavior or not. We all have a choice. The demonic is going to do his or his job, but we have a choice. And so Jesus sends his disciples out and gives them power and authority over devils, over the demonic, y'all. And I just wanted to stop by to say on this first Sunday in June, halfway through year 2014, that you have a power and authority over devils. You've got power and authority over the demonic. When the demonic comes up against you, you've got power and you've got authority over any influence of the demonic in your life, in your children's lives, in your grandchildren's life, in your marriage, on your job. The demonic is, don't be surprised when the demonic raises the demonic's head, but you need to raise your head when the demonic raises his head, because you have authority and you have power. That's the problem with many Christians. We abdicate our authority to the demonic as opposed to exercising and imposing our authority over the demonic to say, devil, you are a liar. Get thee behind me. You've got power. You've got authority. The same power Jesus gave his disciples is the same power he has given unto you and to you and to you and to me and everybody that's in this sanctuary. You've got power and authority. And so then Jesus gives his disciples this influence. And you're right, Aaron, it's two different things, power and authority. Come back to that a little bit later. But in the second point, they go out. It brings me then to this next word of declaring. Because what he says to them is that you've got power over devils, and now I'm going to send you out. In another part of the Bible, it says, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You got your Bible. Amen. We are created to go out. God never intended for us to be a social club. God never intended for us to be encapsulated by monuments of stone and plush pews. God never intended for us to always look from the inside out of the stained glass windows. Every now and again, you ought to go see what they look like from the outside. God never intended for us to stay put up in the church just to preach and have folk come in here. God intended for us to get the God, the Word of God, and to go outside of the church to be sent out in the people here what God is trying to do. See what God is trying to do and what he's trying to do. Jesus sent his disciples out. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. I believe that preaching is declaring. I believe that when you go out, right, when you go out, you need to declare that the kingdom of God is at hand. John, when he preached, he would preach the kingdom of God is at hand. He didn't preach a denomination. He didn't say come to the Baptist church or the Methodist church, even though he was John the Baptist. In point of fact, he could have been the first denominational leader. In point of fact, some folk got caught up in baptism. I got baptized by Paul. You got baptized by Apollos. Paul came and said, it's not he who baptizes. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. This thing is about the kingdom of God. Unless you forget, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God. Somebody say the kingdom of God. The God we serve called us into a kingdom. A kingdom is a big palatial estate that has one ruler, one monarch, and his name is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But the kingdom has many other people and many other places, and the kingdom is big enough, come on somebody, for you and for me. The kingdom of God here on earth. God is establishing God's kingdom here on earth. And we need to go out and declare that the kingdom of God is at hand. On your job, declare that the kingdom of God. And you know why we got to declare this kingdom? Because there's some other kingdoms that are being declared. On television, there's a kingdom of media that wants to control what you think through print media, broadcast media, radio media. I've been talking to some of the members of our church who have a testimony, and they were working with the Discover Channel, and the Discover Channel miscegenated the story and used them to get bits and pieces of the story and then put what they wanted to put on the story. Because the kingdom of media is not concerned about the righteousness of God, it's concerned about the prophets and the sensationalization of what is happening in our world. So there are kingdoms that are operating in counter understanding of the kingdom of God. And every time you get a chance, you ought to declare what kingdom you are part of. Every now and again, you ought to let folk know, I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I worship at the Shiloh Baptist Church, but I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I go to Sunday school at the Shiloh Baptist Church, but I'm a member of the kingdom of God. I just happen to be there on Sunday mornings at Shiloh, but I'm a part of a big kingdom, a universal church, and the God I serve says I'm a part of a kingdom. Jesus didn't send them out to declare a belief, but he told them to declare the kingdom of God. When we understand the fullness of the kingdom of God, we will have a deeper insight into what God is calling us to do and who God is calling us to be. Because last I checked, folk who are part of a kingdom are part of royalty. Yeah. It gives me some sense then of why Paul says you're a member of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. All of us sitting up in here are royalty. So why would you let the devil treat you any old way when God has called you to be a part of the kingdom of God? You're a queen and you're a king. Let me say it a different way. You're a prince and you're a princess. Because there's only one king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But all the princes realize who the king is. And the best kind of kingdom is when the princes and the princesses aren't trying to be the king or the queen. But we who are princesses, princes and princesses, not uppity, bougie princesses, not know-it-all, condescending, paternalistic princes, but humble men and women of God who understand that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I? The best kind of prince is he understands and she understands their relationship to the king. And the king gives out some gifts. And some of the gifts that the king has given me is the authority to declare that the kingdom of God is at hand right now. Jesus sends them out. Now, in another text, Luke 10, the very next chapter, he sends out disciples two by two. It does not say here that he sent them out two by two, but there's every reason to understand that they were not going by themselves. And so Jesus sent them out to declare the kingdom of God. Somebody say demonic. Somebody say declare. Brings me to my third point of divest. The word invest means to pour into or to put in. The word divest means to take out. I remember my first year at Stanford, we were in a culture debate about whether we should divest from South Africa. This is 1987, 1988, 1989, and apartheid was still raging strong. Nelson Mandela was still on Robben Island. And billion-dollar institutions like Stanford and Princeton and billion, million-plus billion-dollar institutions like Howard and Hampton and billion-dollar corporations like pharmaceutical companies and other corporate giants, GM and Ford, had to decide what side of the fence you're going to be on. Are you going to keep your money in apartheid racist South Africa? Are you going to take your money out to make a declaration that we don't believe in the inequality of white supremacy over black Africans? So therefore, Stanford made a courageous decision to divest some of his portfolio. Didn't do it all, which is an interesting reality because, quite frankly, nobody took all their money out of South Africa because too many diamonds and gold were coming out of South Africa. The demonic wanted to keep a grip on some stuff, and it did. And so the divestment of money being taken out is then that which you give up. And so that word divest in this experience says that he sent them out, and it does not use the word divest, but I'm imposing the word divest because what he said to them is, I don't want you to take any money with you. I don't want you to take any clothes with you. I don't want you to take any food with you. I don't want you to take any stage with you or any kind of utensils or any kind of accompaniments. I just want you to go out there by yourself. And see, some of us are too invested in some material things, and God is wanting us to divest from the materialism of the world to understand that you can live without some things, but you can't live without God. Come on, somebody. Too many of us in 21st century America have become too attached to the things of this world, too attached to cars and houses, too attached to credit cards, and too attached to furs and clothes, too attached to weaves. I'm not knocking weeds. Just don't get too attached to them. Beyonce has a nice weave. The reality is, some of us get too attached to material stuff. And God is saying, some of you I can't use because you're too invested in other stuff. And you need to give up some stuff so I can use more of you. But until you divest of this stuff, I cannot pour my spirit, come on somebody, inside of you. And so therefore, don't take anything when you go out there in your journey. Because God is saying, too many of you are too caught up in the creation and have forgot about the Creator. And it is not until you get to a point in your life when perhaps you've lost everything, you've hit rock bottom, before you realize if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you would not even drive what you're driving, live where you're living, wear what you're wearing. And every now and again, you want to step back from the stuff and realize that you better thank God for everything that you have. Because if it had not been for Him, you would have been dead and gone. If it had not been for Him, you would have been broke up from the floor up. Had it not been for Him, somebody say, thank you, Lord, for everything I have. But you got to realize that the things that you have are not more valuable than the God who gave you the things. And I always find this text an amazing reality. Lord, you mean you want me to step out there with nothing? Remember when I flew across the country, sold almost everything I had. All I had was an acceptance letter and a couple of $100s. When I got on a plane from San Francisco Airport and flew to JFK Airport and got on a transport from JFK down through New York, down the New Jersey Turnpike, down off exit 9, stopped by the Hilton, they dropped off some folk. Came on down Route 1, stopped in Forest Hill Village, dropped off some more folk. Came on down Route 1, stopped at Princeton University, dropped off a few folk. I looked around, I was the only one on the bus. They said, last stop, Princeton Seminary. But it wasn't even Princeton Seminary, it was the dinghy at the university. I had to get my little bags, the two or three that I had, hook them on my shoulder, drag myself about a mile, and got a taxi to drop me off at Princeton Theological Seminary. And I said, Lord, here I am. All I got is a couple of bags, acceptance letter to the seminary, and a whole lot of faith. But I can tell you, 19 years later, when you give God the little bit that you got, the Lord will make a way out of no way. Every now and again, I kick myself. I pinch myself. I say, Lord, whoever would have imagined that I would be where I am? But I thank the Lord, because the little bit that I had, the Lord multiplied it. The Lord opened the windows of heaven, poured me out a blessing that I don't have room enough to receive. Now I got a house. Now I got a car. Now I got two cars. Now I got some money in the bank. I got a beautiful wife. I got two wonderful children. I got a wonderful church. The Lord has been good to me. The Lord has brought me from a mighty, mighty, mighty. And I know I'm not the only one. Because when you look back over your life and think things over, you can truly say that you've been changed because you got a testimony. Does anybody have a testimony? Somebody say yeah. Thank Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you got to divest yourself in order to get what God has for you. But if you keep holding on, I could have kept holding on. Lord, I don't want to go east. I got me a nice job at the university. I was working at Stanford. Had me my first 401k plan. Had some health benefits. Gave all that up. But in the hindsight, the little bit I gave up doesn't compare to what the Lord has given me. And the little bit that I have, God's got more waiting for you up ahead in your future. So stop thinking your best day is today and start realizing as good as it is today, God's got something better on tomorrow. I know he's been good yesterday, but I need somebody, anybody, everybody to realize that your best days are ahead of you. Jesus told them to rely solely on him. Don't rely on money. Don't rely on your clothes. And he doesn't say it here, but don't rely on your political hookups. Because all your hookups can one day become hiccups. There's a bunch of stuff and a bunch of people we invest in that God is saying there's no return on the investment. Divest yourself. Empty yourself so you can get more of me. Fourthly, Jesus, after telling them that they must declare over the demonic and divest themselves, he then lastly, and bring this last point up, says to them that they must decree. Now again, you're not going to find the word there. But what you will find in verse 4 and 5 is that, so when, now you're out there naked. And you're relying on me to guide you and provide for you. And there's some places you're going to go where folk will hear you. But there's some other places you're going to go that folk don't want to hear it. Yeah, the word says, and whosoever will not receive you. See, verse 4 says, whoever receives you. Right? Stay there until it's time to depart. But whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet. Now it's Communion Sunday. I'm going to have to close the sermon because we need to get to communion. But let me just drop this in your spirit real quick. There's some dust that people will throw on you to try to discourage you, to try to dissuade you, to try to derail you, to try to destroy you. And you need to understand, go back to verse 1, you still have power. You need to shake off that dust and say, whatever you're trying to do, I decree today that it is of no effect. I know you're trying to discourage me. I know you're trying to derail me. I know you're trying to destroy me. But I'm just going to shake it off and pack it under my feet. Because God's got more ahead of me than what he's got right here. Stop wasting your time playing around with other folks' dust balls. Let me interpret that. Stop spending time having pity parties with folk who are not trying to go anywhere. Stop spending time with folk who have abdicated their joy. Because whatever reason, they forgot what Nehemiah said, that the joy of the Lord is their strength. Stop spending time with negative, pessimistic folk who don't see anything positive in any kind of situation. Stop spending time. Shake it off and keep it moving. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to be your friend. Everybody's not going to pat you on the back. Everybody doesn't have your best interest in mind. I already told you the demonic realm is real. He's trying to destroy you. So why would you think everybody's going to have your best interest in mind? Stop thinking this is peaches and cream. Start realizing you're in a war. And you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities of darkness in high places. This isn't Mayberry, y'all. There's going to be some folk who don't like you. Let me make that plain. They don't like you. They don't want to see you coming. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They certainly don't want you praising the Lord. But I need you, every time you come up against that kind of dust, is to shake it off and say, Lord, I'm going to keep it moving. Shake it off because I got more ahead of me. Shake it off because I got somewhere to go. Shake it off. Pack it under your feet. And you don't get the idea, do you? The more dust you shake off, the more dust you put under your feet, the higher you climb, the higher you go, the higher your praise, the higher your worship. Shake it off! Shake it off! Shake it off! And pack it under your feet. Listen, listen, as I close, Jesus, the verse 6 says, and they went out. You know what it says? They departed. And went through the towns, preaching and declaring and decreeing. And it says that some folk got disturbed. I like this part. Verse number 7 says that Herod, the king, in his mind, got disturbed. He got perplexed. He said, what's going on here? Didn't I kill one of them? Didn't I kill one of them? And they still out there multiplying? And that's what you need to understand about the power of the Most High God. A kingdom is not made up of one person. A kingdom is not made up of one warrior. A kingdom is not made up of one army. If you knock this army down, there's another army coming behind. If you knock me down, I got some other saints who gonna stand up. You can huff, you can puff, you can blow my house down, but God is gonna raise up another army. God is going to raise up another warrior. God is going to raise up another soloist. God is going to raise up a kingdom. A kingdom, beloved. And that only comes because of the dunamis power. The power of God is bigger than you and me. You can't deal with no devil if you don't have no power. Little power, I mean little prayer, little power. If you've got prayer, I mean if you've got power from God, he'll give you the authority and the ability to do what man and the devil is trying to stop you from doing. Let the power of God reign in your life. Because without the power of God, you cannot go out there by yourself. And in point of fact, without the power of God, you better not go out there by yourself. Before you go out there, you better fall on your knees and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, where would I go?
Father, give me power to pray right. Give me power to walk right. Give me power to sing right. Give me power to preach right. Give me power to live right. Give me power to praise right. Give me power to worship. Give me power to forgive. Give me power to love. Give me power. You have not because you ask not. He's already given you the construct of authority. He's waiting on you to ask for the power. I'm foolish enough to believe that there's nothing I cannot do through the power of Almighty God. Some of y'all saw that yesterday when I tried to do my little solo praise dance. I had even told my wife I went out there and praise danced. But I believed that God would give me the power to do stuff that I've never done before. And I used the little praise dance as a little example. Because there are more places God wants me to go, more things God wants me to do, more sermons He wants me to preach, more people He wants me to reach. But I can only do that when I've got dunamis power that comes from God on high. And if I don't have the power, I better sit down somewhere and wait till God gives me power. Because with God on your side, everything is possible. So I just stopped by to remind all of the saints of God, get ready to go out. Get ready to declare and to decree. Get ready to divest yourself of some stuff. Some of y'all wondering why you losing some stuff. Maybe God has you in a place of divestment because He wants to invest some other stuff. And lastly, call on the power of God. Stop relying on politics. Stop relying on hookups. Stop relying on backroom deals. Stop relying on your education. Stop relying on your degrees. Stop relying on who you know in the human realm. And start asking for the dunamis of God. Lastly, dunamis is a word in Greek from which we have anglicized to mean dynamite. You know what dynamite is, don't you? Dynamite are things that go boom. And so every now and again, you ought to blow some stuff up when you step on the scene. There ought to be some explosions going on when you come on the scene. There ought to be an explosion of power, an explosion of joy, an explosion of love, an explosion of peace. You want to blow some things up when you step on the scene because of the dynamite, dunamis power of God. God bless your saints. We'll pick up part two on next Sunday. Let the church say amen. Amen. And one more time again. Deacons and deaconess and clergy, help me extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. We preach because there is someone who needs to hear the word of God. Don't know your circumstance and your situation, but I do know that God is able. So today, I want you to, somebody, to take a step out on faith and believe that the Lord is able to do what He said He can do and will do. And so if you're here, you don't have a church home, I want to invite you to come unite with the Shiloh Baptist Church. But more important than a membership in a church is the relationship with God. And so I need someone here today to say, I want a relationship with the Most High God. I don't know who you are and where you've come from and where you've traveled from, but I do know that you're not here by accident.
that God has you here for a purpose and for a reason. And if you know he was speaking to you today, I want to invite you to simply come forward. It doesn't take a long time. If you're not ready, then you continue to pray that God gives you peace, I mean grace, to see another day. But for those who know God is speaking to you today, I invite you to come forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and sing, choir. And as they sing, the doors of the church are open. If you want to pray with somebody, just step in the aisle. One of these men or women will pray with you, a special prayer, in the name of Jesus Christ.